We've come through 2020 and we're into 2021. We don't really know what God's going to bring us in this coming year, except we know that He will be with us, and whatever lies ahead, He will help us through it. It's been a challenge for us to maybe to stay with a proper attitude during the past year with all the virus and all the shutdowns and all the limitations that we've had, even some sicknesses and so forth in the family, to have maybe the attitude of contentment. And contentment is with godliness is great gain. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6 says, so we want to have great gain, so we need to be content. The passage that I asked Tom to read talks about anyone thirst. Thirst, I think, has the idea of maybe more than just thirsty, something that we long for, something that we need. Let him come to me and drink. I'll give to you. I'll take care of the needs. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I think this suggests the idea of God supplying the things that we need, not just a little bit, but a river flowing out of our lives. It's perhaps a challenge for us to be satisfied with some of the things that we have faced or maybe are facing or will face in the coming year. But we're going to talk about contentment just for a little bit. But usually when we think of contentment, we think of the idea of, I have this and I need to be content with this particular possession. It's 2021 and now I've only got a 2020 car. Well, I don't, but I'm not content. I want the new thing. I want the latest thing. Well, we perhaps maybe don't have that much problems, but sometimes we do. But there's another area of contentment we want to consider tonight, the idea of being content whatever circumstance we're in, not just things, not just possessions, but the things that we may face. You know, in our culture, it says, the idea that, you need more, you need the best, you need the biggest, you need to do this so we might be happy. But sometimes we find out that there's circumstances that are very trying. Maybe there's a sickness or maybe there's pain of this sort or another. And we need to be able to have contentment. And as Jesus suggested, the idea of it be like a river of water flowing out of us. Our main text is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. And here Paul is talking about a problem that he had. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might be depart from me." The first part of chapter 12 there, Paul is talking about some very special things that happened to him, that he was taken up to paradise, to the third heaven, and he heard things that he was not permitted to talk about, and things. Then he talks about, because of all this, he was given this thorn in the flesh, and there's a lot of speculation about what it was. Was it this problem? Was it that problem? But we are not told specifically, and I think maybe that is a blessing, because if he had said, it's the thorn in the flesh is being ugly. Being that we're not ugly, we would not be able to identify with that. Probably wasn't that. Some think it was an eye problem or something like this. But it just kind of says it generically. This thorn in the flesh, this problem was given me. And I think we all maybe have had times when we've had some thorns in the flesh. When you get a real thorn in the flesh, it hurts. Think about thorns, but we think about the thorn crown of thorns that Jesus wore. And certainly that must have been very painful, because I'm told that the thorns that was probably made from something, the thorns are about 2 inches long and extremely sharp. But Paul here, I don't think, is talking about literal thorns. He's talking about something that was given to him. And he asked God, one translation says, he pleaded with God three times to let this pass from me. Just think about the Apostle Paul. Surely if anyone's going to be able to have his prayers answered, that the Apostle Paul, the one Jesus chose especially to take the gospel to the Gentiles, surely God would answer him. Well, God did answer him, but he answered no. You know, just imagine Paul praying, and maybe we don't know how long the prayer was or anything, but then he realized nothing happened. I still got this problem. He prayed again. When? I don't know. Same day, a week later, we're not told. But he prayed a second time. Still, no positive answer. No. And then he prayed a third time, and the same thing, no answer. So we can perhaps maybe identify sometimes. Maybe there's things that you've been praying about, maybe a particular problem that you faced or are facing or maybe concerned about, and prayed and prayed, and seems like maybe the answer seems to be something other than what we desire. Well, Paul seems to be praying that way. But notice in verse 9 what God's answer was. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you." Hey, my grace, my favor, as some translations say, or my grace is all you need. My grace is enough for you. So Paul has something that he has, a problem. He asked God to remove it, and God says, no, my grace. I'm going to give you what you need, and that is sufficient. You do not need to have this thorn removed, because I'm going to give you that which is necessary for you to face this particular problem, whatever it is. And I think that is something that, a lesson that we need to learn perhaps, or be reminded of. We need the idea that in our difficulties, and maybe in our discontent, in our trying times, or the things that we're concerned about, well, whatever may come, God's grace will be sufficient. He'll be able to help us make it through this. And then notice Paul said in the latter part of verse 9, it says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, and your weakness gives me an opportunity to show that how things can be made perfect. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We all, perhaps, as we mentioned, the idea of seasons and times and troubles, but God is telling us that when we have these times, he is able to help us. Maybe he's even telling us that we need those things sometimes. We need problems. We need difficulties to help us be what God wants us to be. Kind of like God putting up a road sign, you know, God at work when we have difficulties. We're very familiar with the construction signs on the highway, road at work, or men working ahead or whatever. Realize that they're trying to improve the road, trying to improve things. Well, maybe when God is giving us difficulties or allowing us to suffer difficulties, as Paul was, he blamed Satan for his particular problem, that God is using this to help make us more like he wants us to be. Notice verse 7 again. "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations." Paul was the apostle that we know most about. There's more about him, and he wrote more of the books than others. But he talks about the abundance of revelations, the things that God gave him. He had so many. He says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan." Notice why. "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Lest I should be conceited. Lest I should, as my mom would say, get too big for your britches. You know, the idea of being too lifted up, too boastful. So God says, I'm going to bring you down a peg or two. I'm going to bring you down. I'm going to let you realize how much you need me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. This is help us to not to have pride ourselves. Do you ever sometimes feel like, boy, things are just going so well, I'm so blessed, I've done such a good job doing this, and God, you know, instead of giving God the pleasure, kind of maybe be reminded of Nebuchadnezzar and went out and looking at his gardens, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, we're told. Look what I've done by my hands and by my honor and my glory. Well, God made him think he was some sort of an animal for seven periods till he realized that God was the one who work in the kingdom. So God was telling Paul no each time he pleaded with him. And notice what Paul's response was. God says, my grace is sufficient. Whatever you face, I'm going to be there. That'll be enough. Notice what Paul says in verses 9 and 10. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Notice Paul says that I gladly boast in my problems, in my difficulties, in the things. You know why? God's grace may be seen. That when I am weak, I am strong. Paul says, you know, I need to realize how weak I am. Because when I realize I'm weak, then is why I when I am strong. And I think it's something that we need to remember. Is when we are weak, that's perhaps when we become the strongest. I hope that we all pray regularly on a daily basis and so forth. But perhaps maybe you can remember a time when you was really, really, really praying. You know, I'm thinking one time when I was sick, you know, and Sharon teases me about me when I get sick, you know, I'm thinking I'm dying and, you know, and nobody's ever been this sick before and all of this. But I remember one particular time that I was so sick and I was feeling so bad. And what made it worse, I realized there's not a thing I can do about it, you know. I can't make myself better. I can't do this. So that's when my praying really got hard. You know, if I had never had problems, would your prayers be maybe what they are sometimes when you really have a need? Well, sometimes the answer may not be what we want, but we can make it through it. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says that there's nothing that's overtaken us that's not common to man. No temptation, but God will provide a way for us to make it through whatever comes our way. This idea of praying and praying and praying again. I don't know if Paul stopped after his third time, or maybe that's when God says, hey, I've heard you. The answer is no, my grace is sufficient. I don't know, maybe he prayed even after that. We're just not told. But it's in the idea that I'll boast because I have these problems. And when I have these problems, I realize that I need to depend on someone besides myself. When we try to depend on ourselves, then we realize, well, like I mentioned when I was, there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. So where do we go? We go to someone that can help us. And hopefully we'll not wait till we get that far down the road until we go to God for the problems. Well, how can we overflow, as it were, as using the idea that Jesus said, overflow like rivers of water, having the attitude and circumstances about us? Well, I think that we have suggested that already, is just learn to trust in God. Paul said, this was given to me so I wouldn't have overconfidence, so I wouldn't be exalted above measure. In essence, God is telling him no so that he can use him more. You know, Jeremiah, I believe it is, talking about the potter and the clay, you know. We sing, I am the, thou art the potter and, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Well, if we're not moldable, flexible, yielding to God's word, then he really cannot use us. And also, not just the idea that God can use us and help us in our circumstances, but that's when we maybe really, really realize how much we need him. Strength comes in weakness. When we think about the here and the now, and well, the here and the now is not what it should be, and we are depending on the here and the now. The here and the now is all we got. But we need to have hope in something better. And thinking of the idea of hope. You know, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not to trust, you know, in man's fame or glory or honor, because God alone has the power. David, in his 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leave me beside the still waters. He prepares a table before me, you know, and all these things he does. And then he closes with, "My cup runs over." My cup runs over. I dare say that in many ways we all can say, "Hey, my cup is running over." My parents, we grew up very poor, but Mommy and Poppy drank coffee for breakfast. And as I remember it, they always had a teacup with a saucer. Probably didn't match. Probably were chipped and things like that with 10 of us kids. I can remember when there's 10 of our kids around the table. There's actually 13 of us. But I can remember when there's 10 of us there. And they always drank coffee with a teacup with a saucer. Well, there's a poem, you know, "I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed." I dare say our saucer is overflowing. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. See what the Lord has done. Oh, we all have troubles in this world. We will have persecution, you know. We'll have tribulation, Jesus said. But God will help us through. God talking to Israel through Moses, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the idea of the second giving of the law. It's just a series of speeches given by Moses before he died. And in chapter 8, beginning with verse 2, he says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? That he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." And then a few verses later, verse 15 and 16, "Who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of a flinty stone, who fled you with the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end." That he might humble you to do you good in the end. Sad to say that of those 602,550 or so that left Egypt, majority of them, all but two, didn't make it. But he humbled them. He tested them for their good. So as James says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, you know, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and patience can make us what God wants us to be." So how are you doing? You know, do you make New Year's resolutions? I really don't, you know, because I find that it's a waste of time for me. And the Bible talks about making vows, not keeping them. Maybe a resolution is not the same as a vow. But I hope that we've all hopefully determined, hey, I'm going to do better. I don't know if that's a resolution or not as such, but I want to do better. I want to read more. I want to pray more. I want to work more. I want to worship. I want to just be a Christian. Think of what God has given us. Think of your saucer. Is it full? Is it overflowing? If not, you know, maybe something that maybe we need to change, you know. Not necessarily if your saucer is not overflowing. Maybe you're just not looking hard enough. But if there's something in our life that's not what it should be, today is the day of salvation. Today is all we have. Yesterday is gone. Can't change it a bit. Tomorrow we cannot do anything about except maybe prepare for it.